Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, we are doing part two with Brian Bowen, a deeper dive into Dao needle therapy, bridging ancient wisdom with modern biomechanics, unlocking the potential of Dao needle therapy for chronic pain and spondyloarthritis management. Some of you, if you didn't join us, let me reintroduce you to our guest. Brian is a passionate entrepreneur, seasoned acupuncturist, and innovator dedicated to helping others thrive. With over 26 years experience and 100,000 treatments, he's an expert in musculoskeletal health and the founder of Dao Needle Therapy. He also leads Integrative Health, Inc., Better Human Company, and Ouch Ointment, and co-hosts the All Things Good For You podcast. He is a board-certified CE provider and teaches globally and invents wonderful tools like the Omni 360 face cradle to elevate care for his patients. Welcome back, Brian.
Thank you again for having me, Jill. It was so much fun last time.
I know. And since we last talked, spring has sprung and we probably have both turned 51.
Yes. Woohoo! I'm feeling good. You look like you're good.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. It was a good birthday. Okay. So I'm just going to have you tell us briefly about your background again, if you don't mind.
So I've been practicing for 26 years. For those of you who, I won't share the whole story. If you really want to hear the funny little story of how I got into it, you have to listen to the last podcast. But I've been practicing for 26 years. I started off doing manual therapy. So I learned myofascial release, structural integration, cranial sacral, trigger point, just a bunch of different types of body work, but was very interested in traditional Chinese medicine. And so I ended up going to school in Florida and was going to school there for a bit and worked at an osteopath's office. So I got to have a lot of experience with a lot of other practitioners of integrative health. And so I spent some time there, and then I ended up moving to Colorado to go to school here. And my world is what I do. My Integrative Health Inc. is my baby. I founded it in 1999. And we have 24 different practitioners at our office. So I'm very much a believer of integrating allopathic and complementary medicine together. There's a place and space for all of the above. And then, you know, within that, there's a ton of tools, even within each, whether it's massage or acupuncture, there's a variety of tools that you can integrate and bring together. So that's my passion. That's where I'm at.
I love it. We're going to talk a lot today about traditional Chinese or about Dao needle therapy, but
yes,
traditional Chinese medicine and how does it approach chronic pain? And I'm sure it's different from traditional Western medicine.
Well, I'm going to pivot just a little bit there because this is why I love Dao needle therapy so much. Okay. Traditional Chinese medicine is really good for treating chronic pain. It's really good at acute pain. But my bread and butter, my wheelhouse, my tool that I love the most for chronic pain and also scar tissue is Dao needle therapy. And so I have so much love for that, and I've seen so many great results. So that is why I, you know, I'm the founder of it. So I have a special place in my heart, but that's why I love to teach it too, because we have six different acupuncturists in our office and we're all using it on a regular basis. And it's a tool just like many other tools, but it's powerful at what it does, and its bread and butter, its wheelhouse is stubborn chronic pain.
So how different is it from traditional acupuncture?
Okay, so for those of you listening right now, do not get scared when I tell you. Actually, I'm going to deviate right away. So there's this technique. So anytime I teach a class, I always start with this video. And this video is on YouTube, and it's called Python Needling. And the needle's like as long as my arm. It's crazy. So I always joke around with the students. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to show you a little demonstration of what we're going to be doing today. And it looks like they're doing liposuction with a needle.
Oh my God.
So I like to start with that because now when I tell you, it's not as big and it doesn't seem as scary. So both acupuncture needle and the Dao needle are both what are called filiform needles. So a filiform needle means it's not hollow, okay? So the size of the needle is really small relative to a hypodermic needle, okay? So the reason why dry needling is called dry needling is because it's not, there's not a fluid or it doesn't inject anything. It's a solid filiform needle. At least that's what I'm saying it's called that way. So a regular acupuncture needle, if you look at it underneath a magnifying glass, because it's so tiny, it has more of a cone shape to it, okay? The right. Dao needle, when you look at it, it's a little bit bigger gauge, but it's got a slight beveled, kind of chiseled looking edge to it.
Okay. Okay?
So Dao is actually the Chinese word for knife. So it's actually called a needle knife or knife needling. So when I learned, I did not invent the needle, although I do have my own brand and have manufactured my own. I did not originally come up with that. In China, they use it. And in South Korea, they utilize it more for really kind of breaking up scar tissue. It's really good for post-surgeries and stuff where there's been a lot of adhesions or encapsulations and stuff like that. So that's kind of how it's more traditionally used there. So both of these, the needles don't stay in. So Dao needle, there's no needle retention. So with traditional Chinese medicine, you're putting the needles in and you let the patient sit there for 30 minutes and they relax and calm down and get their qi going and get all zenned out. With the Dao needle, the needle goes in and comes right back out. So if you've had dry needling done before, dry needling hurts more, about at least in the 90% of my patients feel it's more uncomfortable than Dao needling. Dao needling, like dry needling, you can get an electric shock or like a zinger. And also there's like this anticipation because the practitioner is manipulating the needle really heavy. And all of a sudden it's like, boom. And you're like, woo, wake up. So dry needling or Dao needling, the most you can ever get is like a little zinger. And depending, that zinger can come from more hypertonicity, more restriction in the tissue or fascial adhesions, or can come from scar tissue. And sometimes you hit like little capillary beds, which you'll do with any needle. So you can feel that. And the reason I want to talk about the needle, the gauge is a little bit bigger and then it's got that special tip to it. So a regular acupuncture needle is almost so thin and almost so tiny that it doesn't do a real good job of dispersion of like adhesions, right? And all that stubbornness. So usually chronic pain comes with we've talked in the last podcast about a lot of compounding effects. So let's say there's three phases of pain. You're like, oh, let's say you hurt your shoulder, right? And you're like, that's okay. Usually a week or so and it goes away. And all of a sudden it's 3 weeks and it still hasn't gone away. Okay. And your spouse is like, I'm tired of hearing you complain. Just go do something about it. Go get an injection or go get a massage or just do something. And you don't listen. And then you wait 3 months. Okay. And now all of a sudden you're starting to feel pain up into your neck or your shoulder, up on the higher shoulder, up into the neck. So now you're moving from phase one to phase two. Okay. And your body starts to do these weird compensations. So maybe I'm not, using this as much because it's the range of motion hurts. So I'm twisting my body or I'm using my other one in a way I'm not used to, or my head starts to deviate in different positions to accommodate. So your body starts to have these compensations. So that's phase two. And then phase three of pain is when somebody comes in and you don't even need to bother to ask how you're doing because they're going to go right into, how they're feeling as far as pain wise. And you're not going to believe this, and that's sad, but it really starts to integrate, into your nervous system at such a deep level that you really have changes at the central horn. And so when we're trying to work with stubborn chronic pain, we still have to do a series. And when we talk more, when you ask me more questions, if I ever stop talking, I'll tell you some more about our diagnostics and differentiation in Dao that's very different than in traditional Chinese medicine. But the needle, because of its gauge and its tip, when you enter the tissue, you put a lesion in the tissue. Okay. So when there's pain, there's that, we talked in the first one about the muscle energy crisis and all that hypersensitivity because of lack of blood flow and contracted tissue and lack of oxygen exchange and all that stuff to the tissue. Now everything's hypersensitive. A regular acupuncture needle kind of sneaks its way in. So the lesion in the tissue is very small. This puts a little bit bigger lesion in the tissue. When a lesion's put into the tissue, it sends signals to the brain and the brain's like, whoa, what is this? And it starts to send its own natural opioids and its own natural anti-inflammatory. So it's kind of like your body got kind of stuck in the, I would say your body got stuck in stew, but it kind of got stuck in the healing process.
Yeah, it needs
to be jump started again. So it's like, let's come on, baby, you know, wake up. Like, what do we got to do? Let's get this tissue moving again. Let's get some natural anti-inflammatories. Let's break up those restrictions or adhesions that aren't allowing you to move beyond. So
yeah, it's like, you know, the movie Inside Out.
Yes.
With
yes.
all the feelings.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, yeah. alarm bells.
Yes.
We need a movie about our like chronic pain bodies. Maybe that could be our next project together.
I like that.
No, but I like that. That is, I hadn't thought, well, it's kind of, you know, I also do that like face needle thing at night.
Uh-huh. The little roller.
Probably the thing that's supposed to make your collagen come back.
I thought you were 42. So that clearly.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. It's all the gua sha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't know if I believe on your face, but maybe. Okay. Specifically people with spondyloarthritis, I think, because we tend toward, as a community, struggling with chronic pain, chronic inflammation, and a lot of flares that I think about, like, how could this therapy help manage this type of pain? And mm-hmm. Part B is, would you use it on somebody in a flare state, or would you use it sort of in the chronic part of the disease?
So think about down needling. You're not going to be using for necessarily like a psoriatic type or like a gut. We're going to be doing this for more musculoskeletal, more spine pain, hip pain, joint pain, things like that. So I think it's important just to kind of differentiate that. So if it's something that's more psoriatic of nature or gut related, we're going to be using more traditional Chinese medicine than we would the Tao. When we start getting into to joint stuff and spine and all that stuff, then we're going to be using more of the Tao. And so does that make sense?
Yeah, but elaborate on the psoriatic. Like,
so just like when we're having like a lot of skin inflammation.
Got it. Okay.
Things like that. Yeah, sorry, that's going to be more of the traditional Chinese medicine. Tao's bread and butter is more musculoskeletal based.
Got it.
Right? Yeah, so working with contractile tissue and inert tissue. So hopefully I didn't confuse you. Is that
No. It's a good distinction.
Yeah, so when somebody comes in, and let's talk about, all right, let me paint the picture for you on how the phases of this looks. So when somebody comes in on their first visit, usually we do what's called a mapping. And so we're actually mapping and grading their pain points. So we can call those pain points in Chinese medicine, they're called Usher points. So an Usher point can tell us a story. So in this body, we have to find where's the best point, where's that needle in the haystack in here to give us the best effect, right? So where's there more restriction? Where's there more opportunity? And so we do what's called a mapping technique. So we actually map and grade these Usher points, these tender points. So we do that by measuring what's called a mechanical threshold. So you can tell me, Brian, I have tons of low back pain, okay? And I feel it on both sides. Okay, well, where do I start? So this mapping helps us to determine what tissue involvement there is, because we're doing a lot of palpation, but we're also mapping and grading those points to understand what's the priority. So a mechanical threshold means if I barely push and you have a startle response, or you're like, oh my gosh, that hurts so bad, that has the lowest mechanical threshold. So we grade it a certain way, okay? If I push really hard and you're like, there's a little something there, but not much, that has a higher mechanical threshold. So I grade that a certain way. And then if I push and it refers to a different part of your body, so if I push on like your hip and it shoots down your leg, or your back and it shoots to your hip or whatever, then I grade that a different way. So when we're doing that, not only are we grading, but it actually creates a map. And so let's say, so my grading system is X with a circle around it, X or O, okay? So let's say I have X, 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 and I have this intense sequence and it's taken me a certain way, and I start to palpate over here and it starts going cold, so to speak, O, O, O. So I wanna follow those X's. And then the cool thing is so my priority would be needling the X's with the circles, the ones that refer, they have the lowest mechanical threshold. The ones with the X's have the second lowest mechanical threshold, and then the O's have the highest mechanical threshold. So I needle them in that order of priority. When you needle it, the needle goes in and right back out. And immediately after you do your needling, you go back and repalpate. 90% of them are going to be dramatically less tender immediately. So the cool thing is for people who can't tolerate a lot of pressure from like different styles of massage, the Dow needle has a huge impact, but they're able to tolerate it without a problem. Unfortunately, if somebody is really hypersensitive, we have to sometimes skip the grading process and do a different type of palpation because they can't. It's the palpation that can hurt, right?
Right.
So that's kind of one aspect to it. And then the ones that are still tender, we're going to palpate near or around that area. Usually, it's between the two X's or an X with a circle, and then we're going to needle near or around that area. So we, and you can get immediate response from that, immediate results. You can feel looser, you can feel a decrease in pain. Sometimes you'll feel a different type of sensation or pain for a day or two just because we've really tackled something. But then we also have another component to it. And I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot here. I think it's easier for me to paint the picture of what this looks like. And then we can back into some of that, if that's okay, the questions.
Yeah.
So then if you haven't listened to the first podcast, go back and listen to that because we do talk about position versus condition. So we also talk about the posture and how it relates to the body and helping to influence and still create stress and compound with more inflammatory responses. So we look at the posture and then I do what's called functional test. So going back to our anterior pelvic tilt that we talked about in the first one, I might see what I see and I'm like, oh, she has a lot of pain in the low back. I know that you have this autoimmune thing, but there's still opportunity for us to take pressure off that spine, right? By changing the pelvic angle to stop the compression. So even though, yes, there's this real underlying thing, like, again, we have to shave some of that inflammation off. Well, there's no need in having a hyperlordotic curve and having that compression on your low back. So I'm like, okay, based off what I see, I'm gonna do these tests. So let's say I'm like, okay, I wanna see, I think her quads are too tight, pulling this pelvis forward. Okay, so I do this test and you fail or you test positive. That test becomes your homework. Okay, so this is that marriage of that passive and active therapy.
Oh, yeah. So, I like this.
Yeah. Okay. So then, but then for the needling treatment, then I'm going to lay you, let's say supine, so you're facing up, and I'm going to map your quads, needle your quads, then I'll flip you over and palpate and needle your low back because I still want to needle where your back pain is. And then I'm going to do that. Now, if we're talking about the root and the branch, now I'm creating big change, right? So not only am I directly influencing the tissue that needs to be addressed, getting your body to send its own natural opioids, its own natural anti-inflammatories to that area, breaking up fascial adhesions, releasing hypertone contractile tissue, breaking that muscle energy crisis. Now we're creating a postural change to stop that from going back. Because if we didn't do that, what it's just going to go back. But also, right. You know, it's our job to find out what are you doing to put yourself in that position? You know, how can we get it moving? And then if we need to, a third layer, so that would be more like excessive tissue. A third layer would be also looking at deficient tissue, meaning who's not firing. Is there a muscle or something that's not firing to help hold us into a position? So then we would do more what I call proprioceptive neuroresponse testing, which is a fancy word for manual muscle testing. Then we needle the tissue differently to help stimulate that muscle to turn it on.
Okay. So that, no, you're good. a lot of people with AS have fusion.
Yes.
Of the spine. And posture and mobility are like extremely challenging. Have you worked with anybody to help support them with a fused spine and like managing pain or improving flexibility and optimizing posture. I think that's a big concern of the community.
Yes, all the above. And it's important too, because I know, you know, we have to set real expectations, right? So I know whether it's from, you know, this conditioner, whether it's from a spinal fusion, because we have people that come in that's had their spine fused, or scoliosis, where there's even rods that have been put in place. There's still opportunity to improve at some level, but we do have to look at each situation and set real expectations, right? But let's say, for example, you have like a L2, L3 fusion, right? L2, L3, L4. If we don't try to release the tissue, if we don't try to promote healthier tissue, if we don't try to work, because even at a deeper level, like the restrictions around the spine, the little multifidi muscles, those little rotators, they're deep in there. If there's something in there that is hypertone, if there's something in there that's restricting, if there's something in there that is participating to create this immobility as well, and we don't do anything, then the next ones become more vulnerable, right? So how can we, even like a surgical fusion, if somebody has L4, L5 fused, it's often not many years later that the disc above become bulging, and then they have to go in and want to do a fusion there too. So it's like, okay, yeah, sometimes we're dealt this place, and it's like, I can't unfuse your SI joint, right? But right. Can we still promote movement in the areas that we need to have movement? Because unfortunately, when you have something that's been fused, there's something that has to compensate, whether it's the vertebrae above, the vertebrae below. If it's the SI joint, maybe it's the hip. Maybe, you know, again, it's the lumbar. So, you know, still trying to do the best you can, and still to see what you can see where there's opportunity to increase mobility or improve posture is very important. And so the Dow needle, like I said, the thing I love about it is not only the power of the needle to help disperse those restrictions for areas, obviously, again, you're not unfusing something, but the surrounding area to promote more movement and still make postural changes, has that beautiful passive active marriage.
Yeah, I love your passive active thing you got going on. Like it's actually really like makes so much sense, and I don't know that we do it enough.
No, we don't. And I mean, it's almost like getting the participation award and you didn't do anything. Like we need to participate to get the participation reward. Like that, it only works. You're only going to feel better if you are an active participant.
Yeah.
And honestly, showing up at the office is participating, right? Showing up to do something like this is, I give you 1,000% credit. Like for people just to show up, is they've made a huge decision to want to do something more, to try, even though they might have been told the worst case scenario. Because let's just face it, doesn't matter if you're complementary or allopathic, sometimes we're told things that take away hope, you know?
Yeah. I think that's, there's a saying, it's a Nietzsche quote, and it says, hope is the worst of all evils, for it prolongs the suffering of man.
Yeah.
Yeah, not my definition of hope. I have a completely, yeah. I'm a complete opposite definition of hope. Yeah. Okay. We talked a little bit about mobility.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about what to expect, right? Like the scariness of the giant snake needle.
So luckily watch that. And then when you come in, it's nothing, but, and it's not bad. But even when I teach my students, I'm like, all right, the first thing I want everybody to do is do not assume who is a good candidate for this as far as, you know, patient tolerance. I work on 80-year-olds with severe scoliosis to 16-year-old kids, and everybody tolerates it very well. So it's not an intolerable thing, but it's one of those things that I also think that when you have something going on that is so powerful and loud, we have to also communicate back at a level that the body can hear. So it's not like aggression, right? Like this doesn't, it's not like that, but it's like, no, we need the body to hear us. We need to really get some more movement. But then once we get that movement, like how do we keep the momentum going? So if you're just going to do that and then you know, I'm gonna see what I see with your body and give you some things because I want that momentum to keep going. And that momentum for some people, for you, like to do a pelvic tilt to go from like a cat cow or cat dog or whatever you want to call it position, it could be probably maybe very dramatic. For somebody that has fusions, maybe they're getting like half an inch of movement. Yeah. But that half an inch of movement, I'd rather have you keep half an inch than have none. Right? And potentially, again, you know, to lubricate above and below to keep that movement going is just so critical.
Yeah. It's the idea of like your whole body has to be in, like, you have to find the unity of all the parts.
Yeah.
And the ones that need a little more equity need to get a little more equity when they're not feeling so great. Okay. Anytime that people is that down needle therapy is contraindicated.
You can be on blood thinners. I'd say the biggest thing we always have to communicate with people, like when you're on blood thinner, there is a little bit more bleeding that can happen. Not a lot, but you'll have a little bit, that can happen. And so we just want to make sure, you know, you can bruise easier, you know, in that situation and just making sure that you're comfortable with that. The bruise isn't creating long-term trauma or anything like that. So we're just always communicating with our patient that can happen, especially if they're on blood thinners. Also, like if you're going to a wedding, you know, we want to make sure if you're wearing your back strap and you have shoulder pain, are you okay with doing this at this time? Because there is a higher chance of bruising than more with traditional Chinese medicine. Obviously, pregnancy, we're not going to be doing a lot, you know, in the low back as much. I still needle hips and stuff like that. But most of those, it's just more kind of CYOA, you know, cover your butt, make sure, be safe, be smart. But like I said, I've needled 80-something-year-olds. Like, it's not one of those things that's going to interfere with a lot of other things like pacemakers and stuff like that are usually contraindications, or even like cancer. A lot of things, you know, cancer is contraindicated, but you can needle and do this, you know, with having current cancer as well.
That's awesome. Okay. If someone wants down needle therapy, where do they find it?
Yeah. So if you go to daodownneedle.com, we actually have a find a practitioner page there. And so you can put in your state or city where you're at. And then the practitioners that I've trained will show up there. If you aren't popping up, you can always just call my office. Is it okay if I get my phone number?
Yeah.
Okay. If you just want to call Integrative Health at 303-577-9977, where we have a team of people there that can help find you a practitioner too.
Okay.
Or you can come to beautiful Colorado.
I know. I was going to ask if you have one in Chicago, but I'm going to go.
Are you in Chicago?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I know we do have some people in Chicago. I'm not sure exactly what part of Chicago, but yeah.
Yeah. It's not as far as Denver.
How far is Minnesota? I know we have some practitioners in Minnesota.
Like 6 hours.
That's a little too far. That's a little too far.
Yeah. Chicago, you know, I travel a lot. So maybe if you got one in London, I've got that coming up.
Yeah, good for you.
Yes. Let's just hope that like I get the good seat.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I will need down needle therapy.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else coming up and down the pike? Treatments or therapies that you're excited about?
I mentioned it in the first podcast. This is pretty early, but it's an electromagnetic stimulation, but it's actually a handheld device that produces a 14 Tesla of magnetic stimulation. And by virtue, it creates an electrical current, if you will. But the cool thing is it doesn't have to be attached to you. It goes right through your clothes and it's going to feel similar to a TENS unit. But different. So like a TENS unit, you have to put the pads on and it can sting if you have like the pad starts to come off a little bit, but that's very superficial contractions. It's getting the very superficial muscles. This goes all the way through the layers. And so it's very, very deep penetrating. It has a big adjustment range. So we started using it at the office. So like a lot, it goes like I was on like 15% the other day and I could feel it in my psoas. The thing I like about it is it's really good for excess or deficient type tissue. So really it was marketed more for like body sculpting. So they're kind of marketing it to like, you know, build muscle and like break down fat and things like that. I bought it because I, again, am more of a big musculoskeletal guy, and I just saw the benefit of it for flushing things and like really getting things moving at a high level. And so under ultrasound, you can see all these fibers just pumping and gliding and just yummy. And you can see the fascial layers and you can see it all the way through. So I have not used it in this specific condition, but I've used it for a lot of other things so far in the short period I've had with really, really good results. And so I am pretty hopeful that we can, and it just can reach things kind of with a big approach. So even when we're needling, we're trying to like dial it into like the number one spot, right? Like this little area here where this is like a big broad and it's getting a unity of things kind of gliding together. So I have big hopes for it, but I like what I'm seeing so far.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, if you need a guinea pig, you know where to find me.
You come to Denver, you'll be the guinea pig. Yeah, actually it's funny because it started with, we bought a chair. You're probably more familiar with these, but there's an EMS chair that you sit on, and it's for pelvic floor stimulation. And so you sit on it, and it gives 12,000 contractions in 30 minutes. And so I bought one of those for the office. It's marketed more for women with urinary incontinence, prolapse, things like that. And so I didn't buy it for that. I bought it for stubborn, also kind of low back pain as it relates to inner pelvis, aside to the low back. And I'm like, how can we get up in there even more, right? And I love the thing. So then I called the company and I'm like, because I'm like, I can't do it on the shoulder, or I can't do it on here. Like, you have to sit on the chair. And so I called the company and I'm like, hey, do you have a handheld version of this? And they're like, yeah. And again, it's marketed for something different, but it's freaking awesome.
That's amazing. It's like 12,000 Kegels per 30 minutes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You're just crushing it. But again, passive and active. So I think it's very important. Like I've made some exercise sheets. If somebody comes in for pelvic floor health, I'm still giving you some homework to do, right?
Yeah,
so again,
for sure.
Passive and active. But I can tell you, you know, vanity, I'm seeing a better bottom shelf down here since I've been doing it.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, like seriously, I might need to. 51 is tough, man.
Yeah, I gotta fight. Hey, that's why my office is probably geared more towards things I need. Like I'm just like, what do I need to add here to help me?
Exactly. I hear you. Okay. Well, listen, on that note, people are going to find you. You gave your downneedle.com.
Downneedle.com. And if you want to email any questions, it's info@downneedle.com. And just make it attention to Brian.
Amazing. This has been so much fun. I want you to come back after you do the EMS.
Oh, please. Yeah. No. Yeah, well, and you should come down here and try it. I'll send you like a video of me doing it to somebody or something. It's really freaking cool.
Yeah. I want to try it because I'm like, we didn't get to my wow. We'll get to that on the next visit. But like, it's like that middle, that lumbar sacral is like, and I'm trying. I need to do it every day for like 20 minutes, just try to forward bend. Uh-huh. But it's locked in place. So maybe I can come and you guys fix that.
Yeah, you come down here and I'll do a combination. We'll do the EMS and then I'll do some dowing on you. And then the nice thing, that area is harder to treat because there is so much inert tissue. There's so much fascia there. And so it's nice to be able to like loosen that up, then traction it out, right? Then decompress it. So it's like, how do we loosen it and then decompress? But I'd be curious to measure your pelvic angle and see if you're, you know, where you're at with that. And then also I like to have people laying in a face up in a supine position. And I want to feel there's a space between the muscle and the spine called the lamina groove. And you should be able to get your fingertips in that space. And then you shouldn't feel like the speed bumps of those deeper, like little multifidi. And so, but the cool thing is that penetrates through all layers, but for the Dow, then we do it's called tap step needling, and we get to those like little deep, little stubborn guys that are just, you know, that go from transverse process to transverse process and just like grip and hold. Then you loosen it, then you do whatever you need to do to decompress, whether it's
traction. We just do like a whole weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm serious. It kills me. It's and my kids call it, my one daughter is always rubbing like my lower back, and she's like, oh, you got rocks again, Mom. She calls them rocks.
Bring her rocks. Bring her to Colorado. Take her on a little family trip.
There you go. Yeah, for sure. Believe me, I'm not like you may find that I may show up at your door someday soon.
Well, I'm serious, so.
Yeah. I've been known to do weirder. All right, Brian Bowen, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jill. I appreciate it. It's been fun, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to have me on.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Look forward to having you back.
SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie.
Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit, educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.